We Talk Wrestling is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, these fellows to the north. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey Addy.
Hi.
Mo.
Hi Mo.
Hi.
What's up?
Nothing.
I didn't think so.
Where's my chips?
Oh. There's right there. Yeah. And pretty soon we'll be able to cancel out the sound of you doing this.
Yeah, we could.
We won't, though.
We won't.
That's a lot of work.
It makes a lot.
Actually, it's not really a lot of work, but it's there. Yeah. Yeah.
It's some work, and you don't like to do it.
That's true. That's true. So,
we didn't work at all.
Anything to talk about in the world of professional?
No, we got topics.
Topics?
And I got chips.
Okay, so while you're eating your chips, I'm going to take this time as a public service announcement to remind the World Wrestling Federation, it's fucking WrestleMania season!
Uh-huh.
That was all. Well, I know they're listeners of the show.
They are.
And I watched Raw. And it's one of those things that what I deduced from watching Monday Night Raw is...
chips are getting stale. They better finish them.
Some forgot, and some just don't quite know that there's this program called WrestleMania.
You know,
on April 3rd.
And here's the thing.
They just don't know.
You don't know, and I think they do know.
Oh, you didn't know?
I was in bed on Saturday night, and I was trying to fall asleep, and... As I often do, I think about wrestling right before falling asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thinking about Raw puts me to sleep.
Exactly. And I realize that they are on pace, whether by luck or by design or what it is, to put together an excellent WrestleMania card. I'm not even kidding.
Maybe by designed luck.
Maybe by designed luck.
Right.
They are right on the cusp.
On the precipice?
In fact, they're so close on the cusp that no matter what they do, I think they're going to end up with a terrific card.
Yeah.
And I'm not even kidding.
I know.
And?
There's some medication I need you to take.
It's like almost despite their booking by like, I don't know how it's all going to...
What do you mean almost? Yeah, you're talking about a good WrestleMania. So the words despite their booking need to always be included.
I'm just going to throw this out for you here. I'm just going to throw out the card. As I see it, this is the card very similar to this that they might be going with.
Okay.
Or at least they could go with, it would take like no effort whatsoever, and you'd have a great WrestleMania.
Oh, that's my already down my alley.
Okay, so
give me the women's match.
Well, no, I'm just going to lay
the card
for you.
Lay the smacketh down.
Okay, so you start at the top of the card will be Roman Reigns.
Really?
With The Rock in his corner versus Triple H and Vince McMahon.
Yes.
And Stephanie. So you got The Rock there, you got that whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Match will probably be all right because Triple H, despite being 46 years old, never used many power spots or technical wrestling or speed. He's all about timing and psychology, and he won't have lost that.
It's true.
Yeah. So there'll probably be a decent match, and you have The Rock there, so you have the young.
Not the best wrestler in the world.
No.
Not the fastest wrestler in the world.
No.
Not the strongest wrestler in the world.
But consistent, solid.
Yeah, consistently married to the boss's daughter.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, so but that has The Rock, so it has the star power, has the world championship. It's fine.
Sure.
Second from the top.
Okay.
Bray Wyatt
mm-hmm.
and Sheamus.
Okay.
Versus The Undertaker.
Uh-huh. And Brock
Lesnar.
Langston.
With both the League of Nations and the Wyatt family surrounding the ring. Special guest referee, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
As the Lumberjacks.
And
should be noted, Stone Cold Steve Austin not yet pitched his creative idea for WrestleMania.
I pitched it for you now.
There you go.
But that to me is you have the dynamic. You have
took
you
more that's as your, a catcher than a pitcher.
That's I'll go both ways.
Mm. That I believe.
I'm a good baseball player.
Mm-hmm. What?
Mm-hmm. So, anyways, so you have this match.
This match?
This match is smoke and mirrors. This match has a lot of people in it, a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of stuff that
it has Cody Rhodes.
It's the perfect type of match that hides everything. Braun Strowman will have come off winning the Battle Royal earlier that night.
The Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
A lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of shit going on, a lot of League of Nations and why it's not getting along, a lot of Will Taker and Brock get along, and they'll find a way to make that fun, plus the crowd will be into it.
The League of Wyatts explode?
Something like that. The Super Wyatt dicks.
Yes.
Nations. Picture. Okay, third from the top.
Uh-huh.
Chris Jericho versus Dean Ambrose, IC title.
Okay.
Simple. Good wrestling match. Guys are over. Fine.
Okay.
Fourth from the top.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Versus Charlotte.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Really good match. Maybe steals the show.
Really big shoes.
Really big show.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth from the top.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ryback?
No. No. He'd be in the Battle Royal.
Good.
Fifth from the top, the New Day defending against Team NXT of Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe.
Okay.
Sixth from the top.
This is your first stretch match.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Because they're both coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you better get that party started.
Yeah. So, sixth match.
Okay.
Four-way ladder match for the U.S. title, Kalisto.
Mm-hmm.
Or five-way. So Kalisto versus Sin Cara
mm-hmm.
versus The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler versus Neville. Mm-hmm. This is where the super dicks form. But
Cocksuckers. The super dicks have already formed.
So the super dicks versus the Cleveland Cocksuckers, the feud of 2017. I'm
dicks and cocksuckers.
Yeah. Wow. So cocksucking motherfuckers.
It's true. And you know what the match is? They blow.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's it. Okay. Opening match
seventh
on the main
from the
show.
Top.
Seventh from the top. Opening match on the main show.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens.
Right.
Your pre-show matches are a four-way women's match for number one contendership.
Really good.
Becky Lynch, Natalya, Paige, and Brie Bella.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your battle royal that Strowman probably wins by throwing out Big Show last.
Well, Strowman is the odds-on favorite now to win the battle royal.
Yeah. So what you do is in the pre-show, you have a confrontation between Zayn and Owens,
mm-hmm.
where Zayn attacks, like they just get at it. Zayn ends up hitting him, hurting him, whatever, because they've been going at it the 3 weeks before on Raw or something. You have pre-show in between there where Owens hurts his shoulder. He loses the match to Styles clean, but he has the excuse of the injured shoulder.
Don't worry. He'll win the next one.
Yeah, no shit. He loses it clean, but that way, when you go to the tag team match, you have the Team NXT, Joe and Zayn,
mm-hmm.
that way, Owens costs them the win by screwing Zayn, and then afterwards, and the New Day holds onto the titles, and afterwards, Owens continues the beatdown, Joe has a chance to save him, and he just walks away, solidifying him as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
This card satisfies pretty much everything. You have The Rock, and you have a little bit of nostalgia stuff, Undertaker, Lesnar together. You have the star power. Mm-hmm. You have the matches that will satisfy the fans.
Yes.
In the Charlotte versus Sasha, probably, and right. certainly the AJ and Owens. You have some storylines going on with the Owens and Zayn. You have the NXT that gives it a little bit. That gives that a little bit of a boost. You have the Ambrose and Jericho. It's all right there. They've actually set it up perfectly. All right there so easily. You'd look at this saying, this will be a good WrestleMania, and when it's done, you'll say that was a good WrestleMania.
I think you see, really what they've got here is, this will satisfy the fans.
Yes.
Right? And that's the thing. So, what do you think they're gonna do?
I think they might go pretty close to this.
I doubt it.
Okay, which one of those is not gonna happen?
I think you have to look at, I get the feeling maybe that they could do Taker and Brock tag. It's not out of the realm of the possibility. There's just too many, like, fuck Kane and the Ryback.
Yeah, they're all in Battle Royal.
No, that's what I'm saying though, is it this whole thing with the Wyatt, like they're doing, isn't it the Super Dicks against the Wyatts at the Fastlane?
I don't even know if that's announced. Maybe it is. If it is, that's just to keep the Wyatts strong going into this. It's just a blowout. Besides, like I say, the last guy thrown out will be Big Show by Strowman, and that still satisfies that. But you'll also have the other members of the of the League of Nations
members
in the Battle Royal, and you have the Wyatts, and then they're supposed to get along later, and you'll plant seeds for it there. Like it's all right there, like a real
thing is good. Like, you say that, and I mean it's all right there, right? They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I don't know about that anymore. Now I'm looking at this, going, "Oh, it's all right there." Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe they've.
So you realize that, like at on Raw, like Dolph Ziggler beat Kevin Owens.
That was dumb.
And on SmackDown,
that was awful.
Jericho beat AJ Clean. Right?
Yeah, that was bad. Not as bad, but I understand that. That's because they want AJ to be. So they're booking AJ.
When I say Daniel Bryan, I don't think they know what they're doing. And you say, I don't like that anymore. Oh, I know.
You didn't know.
It wasn't even a question. And that's the guy writing SmackDown. His ass needs to call somebody. Good.
Yeah.
It's just a matter. This whole fucking thing. He needs to call Jim Cornette. Is what he needs to do. But the whole fucking. I don't know. And I look at it like, I hear, like, Braun Strowman is winning the Battle Royal so he can get a monster push, so he can be lined up against, like, possibly Brock and Roman Reigns and things like that. That tells me that this is a company that doesn't really know what they're doing.
No,
like
long term they don't.
Will they lock it? I don't know about that NXT tag thing. Like I like it, but
I'm not worried about Braun Strowman though. I mean, yes, they're going
to
give him muscle push.
You need to be worried about.
No,
Braun.
But I'm not because I know what they gave that same push to Kozlov. They gave that same push to Great Khali. They gave that same push to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
When it doesn't work in 6 months, they're turned babyface comedy characters.
Oh yeah,
and it's your CM Punks and Daniel Bryan's, or in this case your AJ Styles, mm-hmm. Kevin Owens, these are the guys that will be carrying it because they'll try because they have this mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But when it fails, we're going to be fine.
But no, we're not. Because we would have had to sit through fucking 3 hours Monday, 6 months worth of fucking Braun Strowman as a
leader. It won't
take
that long for him to flame.
No, it won't. But, I mean, you just, with a tag with Darren Young? But I think that, I don't see. When I look at WrestleMania, I see, obviously, it's Roman and thing. I could see Dean and Brock. I don't think that's where they're going, but.
I couldn't see it.
I could see it. The New Day in a multiple person tag thing. I mean,
you shouldn't be doing that. You should do the NXT idea.
You should, but I don't.
You just put the Usos and whatever, and the Dudleys. All these people just go in the Battle Royal.
I think it's a multiple pre-show.
Think you do. Do you do that again, the same as you did last year?
Sure.
I think you do that with the women's.
I don't mind that. I think that's okay to do two of those.
The point being that we know they listen.
Yeah.
And whatever your plans are, I just laid it out for you in a way that will get over with the crowd and put on a good show at the same time.
And Mo, this is where you're just not getting it. whatever your plans are, they don't have any.
Well, no, I just gave it to them.
I know, but they don't have any.
We don't know that. I'm looking at this going, oh, man.
The only
Do you know how easy this is? It's like they've set a lot of seeds that would make this happen so quickly and easily.
I will quote Paul Bearer. Oh, yes. It is very easy. It has been very easy for years. And fuck Kane. And fucking Wyatt and John Cena forever. It, like, literally, a Roman Reigns rejection, push, rejection, push, rejection, push, rejection. You know, there's just been so much that was, like, handed to them on a silver platter. Cesaro. That just, they don't follow through with. And they don't do anything with, and they don't think. AJ Styles is a mid-card geek. AJ Styles will be a mid-card geek for a very long time, and then they will give him, they'll throw him they'll throw him a frickin' bone. No, they'll throw him a frickin' bone.
No, I disagree.
Like they do with Daniel Bryan, and with Matt Hardy, and with RVD, and
The idea is, we didn't know what we were doing with Daniel Bryan. And we end up doing this storyline that really got over and built him in a certain way as a babyface underdog and did big business.
Not really.
Now we can just copy that because we know what we're doing.
Yes.
And just do that with him. And and that way he's the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
He's the pit bull who's always fighting for it, but people will get behind him and we can just replace Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
That's the whole point. That's the whole thing. And that doesn't make him a mid-carder.
No, it will.
It won't.
Yes, it will.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will.
No, he won't be a mid-card.
Say hello.
He will be a
Dolph Ziggler.
Where's he
from? Is he from Cleveland? No, he's from Gainesville.
Gainesville.
The Gainesville cocksucker. But I just, no, it's, AJ Styles is a talented motherfucker, but they're not going to get behind him. Ever.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
They're not.
I'm telling you, they are.
Oh, fine. Well, then you can, and I will note this, and you will have your.
He's going to be an upper mid card.
You will have your exasperated, fucking piss and moan session about a year from now when they're not using him right, and I'm just going to go like they don't fucking know what they're doing. I told you that with Daniel Bryan, that they wouldn't know what the fuck they were doing, and you're like, well, this guy could be the next. Yeah, he could, but they're not going to because as soon as they fucked up CM Punk. All confidence was lost in this company.
Well, okay.
And Daniel Bryan was, his career was cut short, but his career was cut short before multiple programs with fucking Kane. So he wasn't going anywhere. The killer, the utter and total destruction of John Cena by Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam was because Daniel Bryan was hurt, and it was supposed to be the utter destruction of Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, and then my boy D. Bryan go back to being a mid-card.
Okay, well, the point being that Daniel Bryan will not know,
and they will not connect, and they will fuck up AJ Styles.
They're not going to make him their champion. I'm not saying that. That's not the plan. But their plan is to keep him as an upper mid-carder.
There are no upper mid-carders.
But that's the plan. When I say they're not going to... I'm not saying they're going to book him well.
You're talking about that's...
No, here's the thing. He's not going to end up in the mid-card. I'm saying he's not. No, he's not.
Why not?
Same reason Daniel Bryan didn't. Because he's going to be... He's the guy. Him and Sami Zayn are the two guys right now that you see in the company that have the ability to overcome the bad booking.
No, not really. They're just the two guys that I look at that it's like, damn, it's a shame that they're going to fuck them up.
Daniel Bryan overcame the bad booking. CM Punk overcame the bad booking. Sometimes there's guys that can. And these are the two with the potential.
CM Punk didn't overcome really the bad booking. Mm-hmm. He really didn't. He cut one promo. And he got hot, and he had that little deal, and then Kevin Nash came in and beat the fuck out of him, and then Hunter beat him up, and it was, who gives a fuck? And then he was the champion, and it was stagnant and shitty, and he beat Del Rio, and then he went on, I forget who he fucking, Ziggler or some shit.
Well, yeah, he had Brian for 3 months.
And then he had that shitty match. No, that was after. After he had the shitty match with Chris Jericho and that stupid fucking horse shit with his sister and all that crap.
That was bad.
And and then that was shit.
And yet, you know what? He was still selling shirts. He was still good for the ratings.
He wasn't good for ratings, but he sold shirts.
No, he was good for the ratings. No, not like fucking John Cena levels or fucking The Rock levels. But compared to what they have, yes, he was.
Okay, compared to what they have, this piece of paper right here is good for their fucking ratings. Now, compared to John Cena is marginal at the ratings because their ratings suck. And so when you say that CM Punk was good for ratings, yeah, he was the shiniest turd in the bowl.
Yes, but he still was, is the point.
No, but that doesn't make it good.
Yeah, it means he overcame the bad booking.
No, he didn't.
Because otherwise he wouldn't even be that.
The shiniest shit in a bowl is still shit.
I didn't say it wasn't shit. I said he overcame the bad booking.
No, he didn't. Because he's still
in the bowl. He couldn't be flushed.
He's still shit. He's like this nugget. Hold up. But I just look at CM Punk and he was a decent enough, you know, star. He carried the company to the point where his back hurts. He was in these matches, but he didn't light the world on fire. Then he turned heel and him and Heyman were entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, and then him and the Ryback had the one thing and then it was The Rock.
Yeah.
So The Rock did all that. And Punk was there. Right, he did his part, he played his role, but he didn't really, I don't consider CM Punk overcoming anything. Like, if CM Punk left the company on good terms, and CM Punk, you know, I'm not clamoring for him to go into the Hall of Fame.
Let's put it this way. Here's the fucking thing, you idiot.
Good point. Good point. Says a guy wearing a New Japan shirt that says, look how Canadian this is.
New Japan with Canada.
Right,
so it's
New Vancouver Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. So anyways, or Banff. Mm-hmm. But the point being that despite the booking being shit,
right,
the crowd still gave a fuck about him. When he entered,
yes,
they still cheered.
You are correct.
You
are absolutely correct. When he won the World Wrestling Federation title from Alberto Del Rio, the 12,000 people there cared.
Yeah.
When he turned heel, the 8,000 people there
cared. Exactly.
When he fought Dolph Ziggler, the 6,000 people there cared.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What a great story.
But it's true. The people who are watching still gave a shit about him despite the bad booking.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas
there were half as many.
But that doesn't matter. There's going to be half as many because he's only one person on a 3-hour show. The fact is, a guy like Sheamus or Alberto Del Rio can't overcome the bad booking to the point where they still get a reaction.
You know who overcame? The Ringmaster. You know who overcame? Mankind. Those people overcame. Rocky Maivia.
Different.
Overcame.
You're comparing apples to oranges and
no,
acting like they're apples.
I am comparing apples to turds. You can't say that anybody overcame anything or anything's done anything remotely positive in an environment of shit. And Daniel Bryan, yes, he had his story.
If you're the shiniest turd in the bowl,
yeah,
you're still the shiniest turd in the
absolutely
bowl.
Absolutely.
No. You're not, it's not their fault. The bowl is full of shit.
You know who was great in, you
but know, they might as well be the shiniest, prettiest
you know,
shit in that
you know
bowl.
Was one of the greatest,
and they are.
You know who the greatest wrestlers of the 90s that doesn't get his due? Is Shane Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Douglas was fantastic. Reminds me a lot of CM Punk. Shiniest turd in the bowl. The whole point is that you have faith in this company.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Because you're laying out a very good WrestleMania card.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, I think this is what will be very close to what's happening.
Yeah, but you didn't let me finish because you're an idiot.
No, I didn't. You stopped talking.
I had to eat some chips.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, you should have thought of that before. Are you done? Good.
No, okay. Now. So here's the thing. Now, I think they'll have this good WrestleMania. I'm not saying they're going to have good fucking a good card and good booking after that. I don't think the TV's going to be entertaining or the next pay-per-view.
You think they're going to build to a good
But I think that good WrestleMania is going to happen, and that's all I can look forward to is a good WrestleMania.
Right.
Mathlane doesn't look very good, but I think I could have a good WrestleMania.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I give a fuck about.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I'm talking about, is you have faith that there will be a good WrestleMania.
It's going to be pretty, if I look at the talent that they have to use, and that's the only people they have left, and they can't really put, they cannot put Ryback in a 20-minute one-on-one match at this event. They're almost, like I say, they're almost going to fluke their way into a good match. They're almost going to fluke their way into a Owens versus AJ.
No, I don't have that faith. They haven't, this company has not earned that of me. If they put together the card and it's...
If they have earned that...
I'll believe the card when it's put together.
No, if they have earned that of you for anything, it's just for WrestleMania.
No.
Just for WrestleMania.
No,
haven't. Now, AJ, like I say, afterwards, he's going to be upper mid card because they're going to try and keep him strong, try to make him.
Upper mid card.
They're going to try and make him.
There you go with that idea again of an upper mid card.
There is an upper mid card.
Who's in it?
Alberto Del Rio's in the upper mid card.
Who else?
Dean Ambrose is in the upper mid card.
Okay.
Chris Jericho is in the upper mid card.
Okay.
Kevin Owens is in the upper mid card, though he's falling pretty fucking fast.
He's in the mid card. And Alberto Del Rio is in the mid card.
Eh.
Yes. Alberto Del Rio, the guy that is 50-50 with Kalisto, is in the mid card.
Temporary.
Chris Jericho is...
Sheamus is upper mid card. Bray Wyatt is upper mid card. There's a lot of upper mid card. Where you're wrong is that there isn't a lot of main event. There's a lot of upper mid card.
But those upper mid card then by default are used in main events. And that's why, you know, the very good mid carders are essentially the upper mid card. And that's where Kevin Owens is. And Dolph Ziggler's and even the Kalisto's and all the other band of horseshit.
But that's what an upper mid carder is. An upper mid carder is a guy who you can put up to the main event, he can be there for a short little time, be relevant or believable enough in that spot, but can't carry it for long, and then goes back down to upper mid card, can fall down to the mid card for a little while and be brought back up because he's believable enough or good enough to be brought back up. Mm-hmm. That's what the upper mid card is.
So, and you're Sheamus?
I mean, name me a guy who was upper mid card for his entire fucking 10-year career.
For his entire 10-year
career? Yeah, or whatever. Like, name me a guy. We're talking about that it's not there now. Name me one it was.
That largely had, I can think of guys like Jake Roberts.
He was mid-card for most of his career.
No, he was the guy, remember, that people would program with to set them up for Hulk Hogan? Jake told me that. No, I just look at that. You're using this upper mid-card like it's... Yeah, and the upper mid-card guy is a guy that can be used as a main eventer from time to time. That's not AJ Styles. That's not AJ Styles in the World
Wrestling. Yeah,
that is. Not in the World Wrestling Federation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. They're just,
we'll see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Hey, I hope it happens. Yep. Don't get me wrong. I hope it happens. But
especially if the crowd gets behind at the point and he is the most over guy on all the house shows,
but
and all the cars and all the TV right now.
At this point, I'm ready to forward you this email I got so that you can win the Nigerian lottery. Because not only, you know, it's February, but also because
there's a difference
you're between, gullible, you know, if you think that.
There's a difference between, like, him and Cesaro was the most over guy for a little while there. I had my mouth open a little more than I
said. That would ruin my fun. Cesaro.
Cesaro was the most over guy for a little while, but the difference is that they already had decided Cesaro was not going to... I'm not saying that they don't think he's going to be champion, but Cesaro wasn't being paid very much. AJ's being paid just fine. Mm-hmm. And that ensures that he'll have a decent spot.
I hope so, but I doubt it. I doubt it. So, Raw. We talk about Raw.
Mm-hmm.
The big news, of course, coming out of Raw.
Yeah.
The Dudleys are heels now. And now their gimmick is they're not using tables. to garner heel heat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, whatever.
Yeah. I think you summed it up perfectly there.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
So
the tag team division, not hot and heavy.
Could be, though. That's the problem. You got the New Day. Look at this. You got the New Day. You've got Dudley's and Usos in a program, which could be good. Right? Could have some good matches.
We have been waiting for that.
Right? Yeah. You have the New Day. You still have, the Wyatts that can go. You've got the League of Nations guys, Del Rio, and then you got your Lucha Dragons. What can happen coming out of Mark Henry being all like, fuck you, New Day. I mean, he's been teaming with Jack Swagger, so you can bring that if you want.
But he's retired in a couple months.
Yeah, so.
You know, he's retired after WrestleMania.
Yeah. So maybe you don't even bother about it. But I mean, there's teams there. It's just, they're not using them, right? There's, there's the rabid mongoose.
That's right.
So. It's you know the mongoose two things a mongoose hunts and kills?
A cobra.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Santino's gotta watch out.
And a wolverine.
Oh.
Yeah. So the rabid mongoose trumps the rabid wolverine.
Hmm.
But the
What's his wife's name, Adam Rose?
I don't know. I don't know. Stupid.
Is she a woman?
Probably not. Darren Young.
Almost out of chips. I'm just down to the crumbs now.
Oh, shitty. Shitty, shitty. Bang, bang. You got one on your shirt there, too, actually.
Oh, okay.
Now for like doing a show with Cookie Monster. But yeah.
And then you can be the count. That's fun. But, you got any more?
Yeah, WrestleMania really shaping up to be an excellent takeover. That's going to be great. Shit Sticky Nakamura signed a 3-year deal with the World Wrestling Federation. So he's going to be around for a while.
This flavor on the tips of my fingers.
Jesus. How old is your sister? You know who won't be at WrestleMania? Bull Dempsey.
No, we called it.
Yes, we did. We were watching NXT and we're like, fuck, when are these? How long until they release him? And then it was like the next day, it's like NXT.
Yeah. But I think other than that, I think everybody is going to be at what's the name of this place? WrestleMania.
Yeah. The takeover?
Everybody will be there. So don't worry.
Holy shit! Fuck. Titus, what the fuck?
I just had to close the door on him. I didn't realize you had Titus O'Neil hanging around outside.
You let the dogs out. Holy shit, that scared the hell out of me. Why do you gotta sneak up on a guy like that, Titus? Fuck. Oh my god.
Don't touch me next time.
No, jeez. I thought you must have followed you home because he rang in your order at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Jesus. He just sneaks.
He doesn't have much of a vocabulary.
No, some father of the year. Tit ass O'Neil. This fucked up. He just like, okay, let's, breaking, I'll give you a scoop.
Okay.
I'll give you a scoop over here.
Scoop. Okay.
A scoop.
I remember that website. Scoops Wrestling?
Al Isaacs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And Mikasa.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, that's where we got our wrestling news, so I could read every 6 months that Brian Adams and Brian Clark are being repackaged as the new Demolition.
It may still happen.
It may still happen. They could fight the Ascension. Actually, no, they can't.
No. The Ascension goes up.
Yes. But,
So they both go down.
Here's the skizoop here.
Okay.
So Titus O'Neil, this is his, of course, second violation of the WWE wellness policy.
Oh, is it?
60-day suspension.
Oh. He had one once before? I don't remember that.
Yeah, exactly. But this is what
happened with that. Seriously? Mm-hmm. Has he actually been suspended before?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Well, the primetime players are off TV. And
oh, that's right. And why else would it be 60 days? But it was 90.
It was 90, and they changed it to 60. Oh. And
they thought it was his third strike.
And he lost Adam Rose.
But he did that before.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He lost Adam Rose on the show, on Raw.
Yeah.
And then the next day, he suspended 60 days. I think this little grabby Vince thing, a little too convenient. Titus O'Neil, second violation of the wellness policy, and that's why he's suspended. Seriously. I firmly believe that.
Did you see the video?
Oh, Vince? Yeah. No, I saw it all.
You see Vince give him that shove?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Adam Rose start to laugh?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the look of concern on Triple H's face?
And rightfully so. Look of concern on Triple H's face is rightly so. Yeah, and they took the thing down, too.
I think it's just awful to do this in February.
Yeah.
Of all months.
Of all the months. Why? Because it's the shortest one.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's good.
So it's actually not 60 days.
Exactly. It's 28.
Mm-hmm. 29 this year.
29.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's
getting fucked.
Yeah. Jesus. Awful. No, I really think I think that's what they're doing nowadays. No one's been... No. When was the last suspension you heard?
Forever.
For steroids? And Ryback has new gear? And yeah. Alex Riley looks like Triple H?
Mm-hmm.
They're just not announcing anymore. They're just finding fucked up ways of doing it with the lawsuit and everything. They're keeping it all quiet. That's my theory.
Okay. It's as good a theory as any, because it is a very strange thing.
Yeah.
For the guy to allegedly grab Vince's arm and say, ladies first, so Stephanie can go first, get shoved, and then get suspended for 90 days for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Barely touched him.
Yeah. It's just, and it wasn't even a, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. It's, I don't know. Maybe it made Vince sneeze.
That's possible.
And then that's possible. Why. But, no, I just really, I think, like, would you do this if, would you suspend a guy 60 days if like, say, Kamala did this?
Probably.
Or if, like, Coco Beware did this.
Oh, for sure, he would have. Yeah, Vince would have.
You know. And if The Rock did it, probably be suspended for half that.
Yeah.
30 days, right?
Yeah.
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 It's,
Mm-hmm. And if Sheamus did it.
Oh, Sheamus would be fine. Yeah. Sheamus would be okay.
Sheamus would 30 days added to his contract.
Really, if anything, Sheamus and Paige are the two that could just get away with this, no problem.
Yeah. Right? Well, Undertaker when he first debuted.
That's true. Taker back in the 90s could have got away with this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I tell you who couldn't. Virgil.
No.
He'd be all by himself.
Yeah, he really would.
Yeah.
He really would.
Yeah. So you're saying Vince McMahon's racist?
No, that's what you were saying.
No.
Oh, that's what, isn't that what the New York Times said or something like
New
that?
York Post, I think.
New York Post.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Is that not where Phil Mushnick works? The New York Post?
I don't know.
I think that's, yeah.
So it's probably right then.
Could be. Mm. Could be Mushnick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just look at it like, you know, it's fucked up. I don't understand it. I don't get it. One of your main publicity, public relation-y people that you've been throwing out there.
With John Cena's schedule, I'd say over the last 6 months, it's very possible he's had the most. Probably him or The Miz.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been at GLAAD events.
Yeah.
All sorts of different things. But,
in AWCP, that's where Vince usually attends with him.
Yeah.
Oh, those events.
You know, if he had done it, wouldn't be going into Hall of Fame this year is Michael Hayes.
Was it NAACP?
Yeah, that's what it is.
NAP. Well, we don't have that in Canada anyways. What are we worried about?
No, we don't. But I just look at it like he's missing WrestleMania.
That's why I don't think this is going to go through the 60 days.
It's just like, and it, this
he's
is
not going to miss WrestleMania, I don't think.
It's just, it's your yeah, and it's good. It's
if it is, it does seem like it would have to be a violation of that. But how could he? He hasn't changed physically, and if he's violated. He hasn't. He looks the same as he's always looked.
I know.
And everybody else is passing.
Well. That's what I'm telling you, is that my theory is that they're not.
You think you're going to see more weird suspensions or injuries coming?
Again, it's these injuries, right? I mean, it's like they didn't push Ryback. If Ryback was not on the show for a month, I wouldn't even notice. No. I wouldn't have. So
well, I would. I'd be grateful.
No, I wouldn't. Either way, I would not even.
No, you're right.
So if that had happened,
so how big of a violation do you think the Matadors had?
Yeah. Well, it's you know it's that special Puerto Rican stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but
Puerto Rican tackle.
I mean, well, it's you know Randy Orton's off.
Yeah, I'll say he is.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. But it's Seth Rollins guy. Let me tell you.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
No, I really think that this is. It wouldn't surprise me if this was because it's just too fucked up.
It is weird.
It's just way too fucked up. And
Vince was legit pissed.
Well, because he said ladies first.
Yeah,
and Vince is like. What are you talking about? So, like, Vince... Yeah.
Not what Vince said. He said ladies first, and Vince turned around and shoved him and said, I paid for them, pal!
Yeah. No, it's fine, Vince. And this is what everybody needs. So the New York Post just needs to fuck off and just shut... Vince is not a racist. He's a homophobe. It's where everybody's getting the story wrong.
And an anti-Semite.
Well, okay. Yeah. He wants to be Walt Disney.
He does want to be
shoot.
And that part's a shoot. That part is a shoot. Yes.
So, the real main event of Raw is we need to talk about my boy.
My boy.
D. Brian Blair. And really, it's one of those situations where. You know, he had a series of tests. He was trying to get out of this contract. He thought some of the tests were bullshit. You know, there's just, there was so much that he was adamant against.
Yes.
You know. And then he took some tests in January.
Yeah.
Just before the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Which to me tells me it's like, okay, you take these tests, you pass, you're in the Rumble.
Possibly.
I think that was...
Possibly. I think it was Meltzer's reporting, the things that he was saying. Because he had talked to somebody about this exact test.
Yes.
And it's saying, this is what Daniel Bryan needs to take because he thinks he's fine. And if the way I'm reading this, he probably won't be. And this is, I think, actually kind of, in a weird way, roundabout way, what led to Daniel Bryan going and taking this particular test.
Yes.
So anyways, go on.
So we took the test... something happened on the test.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not public. And that's so he just decided, yeah, this is it.
It scared him, obviously. Scared him, yeah.
This is it. And so Vince McMahon didn't tell him to retire. Hunter, Stephanie, Dr. Maroon didn't tell him to retire. They probably would have. But they didn't.
No.
He came to this decision on his own that he...
Oh, probably with Brie, I'm guessing. Sure, she had a big part of the discussion. Because they want to have family and they want to, you know, I'm pretty sure there is.
We've talked to Brie.
We have?
At the Rumble.
I don't remember.
Oh, I said hi. That was enough to know. Daniel Bryan made this decision on his own. But I really I think, I mean, we talked about it before, in that, you know, it was the right move, you know, not talking to Bree. No, it was the right move in terms of, like, you know, his life has been...
We've been saying this for a long time. Right? Yeah, we've been saying for a long time, make this decision, please.
Yeah, and he did. Yeah. And you know, and of course it come out that he's, you know, he's had seizures as well. Not a lot, but, you know, sporadically. And then that's, you know, that's enough to, especially as you get older, to be like, eh. But, I mean, we can go back and we can look. I mean, he started his career in NXT. And grew from, like, a rookie there.
Yeah.
Not having any matches or experience.
Like AJ Styles.
Yeah.
The redneck rookie.
The redneck rookie.
And there he was. He was the rookie. He was being taught. There was an experienced guy, The Miz.
Yeah.
And then you had Daniel Bryan, who had done nothing.
But you think of just...
Before, he'd never had a match.
His career really is an amazing story of... Yeah. Breaks.
Yeah.
Like,
but most of those, I think, were self-made.
No. Well, yes and no. But no, I think the breaks were, I mean, you listen even to the story that Dave Meltzer told about Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah.
You know, the Super Junior.
That's self-made, though, because he's so great that Nick Bockwinkel stands up for him, so that's self-made.
Sort of. Yes and no. He had a part in it. He's so great.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick Bockwinkel had to, like, he was still... Donovan Morgan was going to win the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Bockwinkel had to be like, if you don't, to roll on and say, if that guy doesn't win that tournament, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And because Roland respected Nick so much, he changed it, and Daniel Bryan beat Loki in the final.
Yeah.
And without that match, you know, Gabe Sapolsky and Rob Feinstein don't go, we could do something with these guys.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about without that match, but without them acting in the tournament again, self-made.
That tournament led them to do it right. They were going to do it something like anyways, and they would have found good talent. And supposedly,
but that's where all the tournament was.
But that tournament certainly had a very.
But that's what made
It made them go. No, the time is now.
They watched that and they said, "These are the guys that we can start. We can start a promotion.
Exactly. We can do this right now. There's no more waiting. Let's jump on this before."
They were thinking about it.
They were already thinking about it, but this is where they're like, because Todd Feinstein had lost the, he used to distribute ECW. When he could no longer distribute ECW, he wanted to be able to create something he could distribute to make money off of.
Yeah.
So they're already going to do it. The fact was, though, when they saw that talent and that show, they went, okay, before these guys get picked up and end up elsewhere, we got to do this with them. Well, that was the point.
Yes. Well, it was more of the, that idea you kind of had, and you said, start something. It wasn't that we do it now. It's like, we can do it with these guys, and we can make it work with these guys. So, okay, let's do it. And, because Gabe wasn't going to do it if he didn't think it would work.
No, he wasn't.
And he looked at these guys and said it could work.
It could work.
The Joes, the Lokis, the Daniel Bryans, those guys.
Christopher
right?
Daniels.
Yeah.
Christian Styles.
Kazarians, all those, what's his name, Paul London, Kendrick, right?
Kendrick, yeah.
All those guys. So, and then later on, I mean, some of the guys are still working in ROH.
Yep.
Right? Daniels, Feinstein brought in Dalton Castle's boys.
I don't think Feinstein still has anything to do with that company.
Huh? No, he brought them in, though.
Oh, okay.
Like 10 years ago. Now they're too old.
It would have been like 19. Would have been like 9 years old then.
No, well, he pretended, there's two of them, so he pretended they were 18. Hello, well.
High five.
But... I don't know. It's like, and then you look at in all the incarnations that he had as in the Indies and in Ring of Honor in terms of, you know, just like snap or tap.
Yeah, he had I got five.
Yeah,
snap or tap. Yeah, and you know that's the first time he came in. He was the clean cut kind of angry young heel, and then he kind of became. the fan favorite technician, technical whiz. And then he started, this is the first place where he went and grew the beard and the hair.
Well, he grew the beard and he cut his hair. He was bald, remember? It had like
he had the Tank Abbott beard. Yeah, he had this massive beard.
He was the whiz, so he was basically a wizard.
Yeah.
Right? And he had the small package over as a finisher.
Yes.
For a while. And he just had that.
Mutilation was his normal finish.
Though. Yeah. And, but
which is a great finish.
And he just had that, you know, he had that connection even then that he could show that he had this mind.
Yes.
For wrestling. And that's, you know, so, and then, you know, all around, and then he gets signed by WWE and they change his name to Daniel Bryan.
I just want to say before you move on, in ROH for me, and he wasn't working just ROH, I mean, because it wasn't exclusive contracts.
No,
in other places. Yeah. Indies. You know, ROH, I think it was their second match for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I think at this point, Nigel McGuinness might have won it from him, but I'm not 100% sure. There's a match. You gotta find it. Because the finishing sequence of this match is the most insanely complex and crazy and awesome. Incredibly awesome. Finish that you could possibly have. I'm sure it's probably on YouTube or something like that. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to find something from ROH, for me, I mean, he has so many great matches with so many different people. But for me, it's that match with Nigel McGuinness. So any of their matches would be great, though. Because McGuinness was another guy. He's the exact same situation. It's just that he hadn't reached the fame yet. He was just getting there in TNA. He was shut down due to concussions.
Exactly.
And he was signed by WWE originally and failed their medicals because of concussions.
Yes.
And if he had ended up in TNA or he ended up in WWE a year or two earlier before the concussions, I think he would have gotten over big and I think his career would have been shut down short and he would have gotten a lot more press, I think, for the concussions shutting down his career short because it was inevitable with him. The way it was with Daniel Bryan, but people would have talked about it more. Daniel Bryan's getting a lot and deservedly so of a lot of accolades. But a guy like Nigel McGuinness, in many ways, is just as deserving. Didn't really get it. So, or Christian's another one. I'm just as an aside.
Yes, no, that's true. That's true. I mean, he really did have. Like I said, he had that name, and with AJ and Daniels and Joe tearing it up, he never went into TNA.
No.
And he resisted
that. It was
that.
Actually strange.
Yeah.
I don't even think he ever had.
No.
I mean, even CM Punk was there, for a while.
For a couple of copies when they were doing the weekly pay-per-views.
Yeah, and he was part of Raven's crew, one of his disciples.
What's her name there?
Yeah.
I
know who you're talking about.
What's her name? Mickie James.
Mickie James, yeah.
And they, so yeah.
Alexis Lavigne.
Yes. And crazy that, he signed in WWE and he was, Daniel Bryan. And he was
there for a long time. He was one of those guys where people kept on going, he's there and he's great, but I don't know that they'll ever bring him up.
Yeah.
And it was probably, and most people went, okay, they will eventually bring him up, but they'll probably never get to be as good as he could be.
Yeah, but back then, too, it was like, there was no NXT. So it was when they're talking about how he's down there and he's going to just stay down there. It's like, back then it was like, when it was in Florida, it was just like, why the fuck did they hire him then?
Yeah.
If he's going to stay down there. So it was like...
But they were doing that with a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody that would sign, they'd sign. Yeah, it's always been that way.
Yeah.
If you'll sign, well, then great, because it keeps you, from making a name somewhere else.
Yeah.
But he come up in NXT, and...
When I heard the first match in NXT, the taping, I remember NXT would, when they announced NXT, it was replacing ECW,
yes.
Which had flamed out. They had purposely tried to ruin. And then Vince McMahon's like, this is going to be a brand new concept in television. You never see anything like it.
Yes.
I get texts from you saying, NXT, NXT. and I can the sarcasm's dripping off my phone.
Oh, yes.
So then I hear the first show is going to have Chris Jericho versus
Daniel Bryan.
I'm like, well, fucking watching that. And then it was this main event, and it was only like a 10-minute match, but boy,
it was great. Yeah.
It was so great, and especially that spot. You'll never forget the spot of Daniel Bryan flying through the ropes and hitting the table there.
Yeah, spinning and hitting the back of the table. Yeah.
You can see then the mark on his
back.
Yeah.
And it was just because they have to... He wanted to do something, right, in his first match.
Well, do you remember your first match that you ever saw of his?
No.
No?
It was an ROH match.
Mine was Lance Storm had already retired, but he came out of retirement and got a shot at the title against Daniel Bryan.
That might have been it, actually. That may have been
that
it.
Was my first one
on my way, I think.
Yeah.
And then heard, yeah, since that's
Lance,
probably
since, you know, Lance Storm is same hometown as us, right?
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. That's I'd already heard a little bit about ROH, but it was, you know, that was one where I...
But, I mean, I just remember he came in, and, of course, Miz is his sidekick, and that was a great dichotomy of you know, this...
Miz is his sidekick?
Yeah. His trainer guy, or whatever they called it, mentor. But it was a great dichotomy, because he had this great, well-respected, renowned wrestler who could go, and he had the Miz, who was the, at that point, the epitome of sports entertainment.
Yeah.
And the machine,
yeah,
you know.
Well, he was very much, you know, one guy was all, yeah, exactly. He was sports entertainment. He was like, it was right from the beginning. They were all over him, and because he was he's the indie favorite. Oh, he's a vegan. Oh, he's like
that was when the Michael Cole heel turn
but
started.
Even the very Daniel first Brown. Episode.
I know, but that's where. That's where it started, though. Who doesn't own a TV? And then it started, and then that's where the Michael Cole heel turn started on NXT against Daniel Bryan, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, his internet darling and blah, blah, blah. And then they just tried to, you know.
And then it was Miz saying, you're a great wrestler, but you're boring. Which, and it was funny because right before he had gone to NXT and WWE, he did a documentary with, Colt Cabana.
Yes,
it was like a road trip thing, and in it was him and Cole Cabana. I can't remember who the other guy was, but it doesn't matter. But the point being, like, you were like, "Oh, this guy's a great personality."
Was
this,
it Freight Train?
I wish it was. This guy has a great personality, and that was you're like that's why it bothered me right from the beginning. Behold, he has no personality. He has no, like, because I was like, "Well, fuck yeah, he does." Yeah. Just, you know.
It's kind of ironic that they were using Miz and AJ Styles that way on that Miz TV.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He is.
But,
you know.
The thing is, and then, of course, Wade Barrett ends up winning NXT. And then.
I had no problem with that.
He was
the right choice at the time, actually.
And then Nexus forms.
Yeah.
And beats the shit of John Cena, and the highlight to me was Daniel Bryan. You think you're better than me?
Yeah.
You think you're better than me?
He's yelling at Cena.
And then, you know, then he took the Justin Roberts tie and choked him with it.
Yeah.
And
a spot that Justin Roberts, by the way, came up with. It was his suggestion.
Of course it was. Hasbro Toys got Daniel Bryan fired, and, you know, it's I don't think it's even a coincidence that Daniel Bryan has retired and Mattel has bought Hasbro Toys.
No.
So, that goes hand in hand.
It does, yeah.
But they complain, so he gets fired. And all through the summer.
But there was Daniel Bryan chants.
In the Northeast. There were Daniel Bryan chants.
But the thing is, he was, even then, when he was fired, it was, he wrestled in Evolve.
Yeah.
That was when Evolve was launching, and Gabe at the time, who was doing that thing, was saying it's gonna be a different concept, we're thinking about doing rounds, it's gonna be much more MMA based, I'm gonna base it around you, and I can't remember who the other guy was. But the point is, though, and Daniel Bryan was like, well, even at the time, he's telling him, I don't know how long I can commit. He knew he was going back. They even said to him, when they let him go, it's like, we gotta let you go. When the heat dies down,
we'll bring you back. Yeah.
Like, that was it. That's why TNA was all over him, coming off WWE TV.
Yeah.
And he turned them down.
Yes.
Right? And even places like New Japan, like, these places were looking at him. He didn't, you know.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And then he come back at the SummerSlam.
Yeah.
With, on Super Cena.
They announced, Super Cena, Bret Hart, and
I think was it?
No. It was The Miz.
The Miz. And was The Miz?
Yeah, I think it was Miz. It was all the people they beat up, I think, was who it was. It was Cena. It was Bret Hart. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't The Miz, because remember it was The Miz is like, okay, I'll be your partner.
That's right.
Being Daniel Bryan. I forget who the other two were. I'll just look it up.
But he was the surprise guy.
He was the surprise guy.
And he got a great reaction.
Yeah.
He wrestled great, of course he did.
Is it 2011 or 10? No, it was 10.
10?
11. 11 is where they fucked up Punk.
What did they fuck up on 12? I don't want to know, actually. I'm sure it was something.
Oh, you didn't want to know? Results.
Try results.
Results!
Yeah.
John Morrison. Yeah. R-Truth.
R-Truth.
Jericho.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and Daniel Bryan was the second last person eliminated. Like, he was the last guy on the babyface team that was eliminated, actually, because John Cena, of course, was Super Cena.
Yeah.
And beat the whole Nexus, basically, by himself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and that was, and then he won the U.S. title from The Miz at the Night of Champions the next month, as the student beating the teacher
kind
of storyline or whatever. And by this point, he had Alex Riley with him,
mm-hmm.
Triple H. And I remember then after that, they had Freed or Fired.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole show was basically built around Freed or Fired. The rest of the pay-per-view, like, sucked a dick.
Mm-hmm.
I've told the story on that. We did a Roddy Piper tribute show before as we watched that Don't Spit in My Face, John Cena. And at that moment, the man they call B said, can we order that? Can we order that show?
Yeah, he talked to you into
ordering. I said, yeah, we can order the show. And then, so we ordered the show, and he's like, and we're watching it, and he's like, this fucking sucks. And then Daniel
Worse
Bryan,
yet is when he gets fired and is on TV every week still.
Well, no, just even the main event, he didn't care too much. The main event he thought was great, but the match he thought was great was Ted DiBiase against Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
And he's like, that was, and I think it was the opener.
Yeah.
And he's like, the opener was good, and then everything else sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, we just watched old school Raw, Blair. I'm like, George the Animal Steel is not going to be on this show. Roddy Piper's not going to be on this show. Mean Gene, you know, Tito Santana. Everybody that made old school Raw, the greatest Raw ever, and they're not coming to this. So we're back to shit.
That was 2010.
That was 2010. And then the pipe bomb.
Yeah.
And
well, actually, before the pipe bomb, I mean, one of the things that actually really got over at the point, in some ways, I think this is where he was his happiest, because he's U.S. champion, and he's just allowed to go out and have matches, like that again.
Like the DiBiase, yeah.
All he wanted to do was wrestle, a chance to wrestle different people and be on TV.
Yeah.
And make a little money doing it. And that, like, he didn't aspire to be anything more than what he was right there, at this point where he was that U.S. champion. There was a point where, at the time, heel Ziggler was the IC champion, and they faced each other on Raw, then a SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, like five times in a row. Yeah. Daniel Bryan, I think, won all five, or at least four out of the five or something. But every one was a great match. And I was like, I could watch this every week because it was just great, pure wrestling. Like, there was no storyline. It was just two guys having a match and trying to prove who was better. And it was terrific.
Yeah.
And this is also when you got to the WrestleMania before the pipe bomb. The first time he was supposed to face Sheamus. Heel Sheamus, and he was the baby face, and they were supposed to be at the pre-show match.
No, they were supposed to be on the card.
Oh, they were supposed to be the opening match.
Bumped.
They were supposed to be the opening match, and they got bumped to the pre-show. I think the match got bumped completely.
No, it was on the pre-show.
Was it on the pre-show?
Yeah, it was on the pre-show.
Either way.
And I don't think I watched the pre-show that meeting,
I don't think anybody did. There was no, actually, you're right, I don't think there was supposed to be a pre-show match at the time, advertised.
No.
And anyways, it was interesting that that's how little they thought of him, though. Because I remember we were actually pissed off. We're like, so we don't get to see the Daniel Bryan match?
So
we're like, we were looking forward to this. At the time, Sheamus, was a good heel and hadn't lost momentum. A year earlier, he had beaten Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, like we were looking forward to this, and we didn't get to see it, and we were pissed off. And it's like, well, that's how little they think.
I don't think Sheamus had momentum. Was not Sheamus not...
Not
the,
compared to...
Was he not the King of the Ring fighting Santino and John Morrison?
Not at this point, no.
In the fall leading up to that.
I don't think so.
Did that come after?
I think that came after, yeah.
Okay, well, anyway. Irregardless, they had that innocent, and then a pipe bomb happened, and lo and behold, this guy is the hottest thing, so they ride the hottest thing, and Daniel Bryan wins the Money in the Bank briefcase because of the pipe bomb. And so they're in Chicago, it's a super hot crowd, they're loving Punk, and they're loving Bryan. It's that type of crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're...
One of ROH's strongholds is all of Chicago.
Yeah. And so, and that's the mentality at the time is this Punk guy's getting over. Well, this other ROH guy, Danny Bryan, let's give it to him, right?
Well, it was a last minute decision, yes. Right? It was a last minute, and let's go with this guy, and the last minute they decide to go with Daniel Bryan, largely because he's the guy people won't expect. And almost immediately, as soon as he got it, Vince McMahon regretted it.
Yes.
And,
I was trying to get it off him, basically. They were going to have matches with Wade Barrett over the briefcase.
Yes.
And do that, because I should have given it to
Barrett. Instead, he just lost to Barrett like 5 times in a row.
Yes. And then he said, I'm going to do...
Had the briefcase, but just kept losing.
And then he announced on the SmackDown that I'm going to do what no one else has ever done. And I'm going to announce that I'm cashing in my briefcase at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. And then they kind of forgot about it.
They didn't follow up on it.
And then, and again, Daniel Bryan just kind of lurking in the shadows again, just having matches really against Wade Barrett, and then not really on TV, and Ziggler, and just
as it's not mid-card. Working though, that he start the heel turn starts to happen though.
Well, I think really the heel turn started is they were having the Mark Henry Big Show feud.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke the ring, and they had the chair. They had a chairs match, I believe, mm-hmm. at the TLC. And he, then Mark Henry, Big Show wins, and then Mark Henry, I forget if he knocks him out or whatever.
Yeah.
Big Show's knocked out, and then here comes Daniel Bryan with the briefcase.
Yeah.
But
it was interesting, though, because Big Show was a heel, and I think Mark Henry was a heel. I believe both were heels.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan came down, and he was a heel already. Like, so...
he wasn't a heel already.
I think he was.
No, he wasn't a heel already. No.
He had subtle heel mannerisms.
Yeah, no, I think the subtle heel mannerism came after he won the title.
I don't think so.
And then, like, things like then it was like a three-way thing.
But it was
little Daniel Bryan guy against Mark Henry and Big Show, and he would cheat to win.
Well, yeah, but the thing was, the whole point was the people that went, okay, he's going to lose it this time. And then it was, the swerve was he held on to it.
Yes.
You know?
But he did it through, like, either sneaky or nefarious ways.
Yeah.
And then he started getting cocky and doing the yes chant.
Yes, and also he had the relationship where he was kind of... Yeah, exactly.
Right. AJ. Then he got AJ Lee. I think AJ may have been his, I think he may have been the mentor for AJ Lee in the Chick Nexus. Or NXT, rather, Chick NXT?
I'm not sure.
Maybe? I think so. Anyway.
Either way, they got the relationship because she was supposed to be the nerd girl.
Yes,
he was the nerd guy.
And he was the nerd guy, exactly. And so they were doing the thing, and then all of a sudden he started to turn heel, and he was doing very macho many things.
Yeah, the thing was, we thought she'd be Elizabeth, and then she wasn't. Instead of making her this sympathetic character, they were all over the map with her character. Right from the beginning. But he was really good. I mean, I remember this one promo he cut on SmackDown where he was making her say all these, say I'm this and say I'm, you know.
Yes.
And it was just great. And it's like, well, this is where he's showing some real talking ability.
Yes.
Real charisma and personality.
And then.
And also as the heel one, the best heel moment he ever had for me was in the Elimination Chamber.
Right.
Santino.
Yes.
When it got down to him versus Santino, and he just looked at him, and he just kind of smiled and laughed, like, this guy, seriously, this is going to be easy. And his mannerisms, his face and expressions was perfect. And then he consistently almost got pinned.
And Daniel Bryan.
Crowd was going crazy.
Daniel Bryan made you think that they could do something with Santino.
Yeah. He was awesome.
And then, of course, Sheamus won the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we stopped doing We Talk Wrestling for a few months when they fucked up CM Punk.
Yeah, you were so pissed.
I'm like, I'm done. And honestly,
Gus.
Daniel Bryan winning the world, I think that's what I texted. I'm like, guess who your new World Heavyweight Champion is?
Yeah.
And you're like, Big Show, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, I forget what I put. I think I just wrote, like, Mr. Money in the Bank or something.
Yeah.
He didn't have the yes chant yet.
Yeah.
And you're like, no fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what brought me back into watching it. It's like, okay, yeah. We can watch the Rumble. And, you know, and then it's like, oh, Kevin Nash is going to be in the Rumble. Booker T's going to be in the Rumble. It's just momentum in there. And then they beat him in 37 seconds. They beat Daniel Bryan in 37
seconds. The
funny
thing is, I mean, it's not just that they beat him in 37 seconds. It's that the yes thing was supposed to be, like, apparently he had seen Diego Sanchez.
Yeah, Diego Sanchez.
Saying yes, because he had the power of positivity from, I can't remember who it was, Tony Robbins?
DDP.
No, I think it was Tony Robbins who used to host the yes chance, and this motivational speaker, and so he used to do it.
On Matt Foley. Foley.
And so, anyways, he took it though as a, to do it as a heel thing, like when he'd win, and he would, like you say, he would cheat to win.
Yes.
He would do something sneaky, or and then he would act like he had what, like he'd win by countout, a fluke countout or something. Somebody else would interfere in the match, and he'd win a fluke countout, and he acted like he had pinned, like, The Rock and John Cena, or The Rock and
Stone Cold Steve Austin the same night.
Celebrate, yes, I'm awesome, I still got the belt. Like, it was that type of thing, and but it was entertaining, it was funny. So by the time they got to WrestleMania, the yes chants were more over than WWE realized. People were doing it all weekend.
Yeah.
Like they were doing it at the ROH shows, they were doing it in restaurants, they were doing it in the before the event.
Yeah.
Like they were going around.
Event, yeah.
They were doing yes beforehand. So when that match was about to start, it was all these people were already Daniel Bryan fans who was supposed to be the heel.
Yeah.
And they're doing the yes.
And they have signs. Yeah. They'd all said yes, and they were all in that lower
the bowl. The WWE and fucking WWE and Vince McMahon, they're so stupid. You know what? You're right. They're going to fuck up this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
AJ Styles and everything else. They're so stupid that they see all this, and they don't go, let's call it audible.
Mm-hmm.
They go, this is it. This is we're finally going to launch Sheamus. This is where we launch him as the major babyface.
Yeah.
This is going to go over huge. Fuck it. All. It killed Sheamus.
Yeah.
It made Daniel Bryan even more sympathetic and even more liked.
Yes.
And they still didn't turn him babyface forever. No. They did everything they could to get away from it, doing the no chance and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, the yes chance started getting over, and so he just looked at people and went, no, yes, no, yes. And it was just so stupid. And then he changed his gear. Remember he had the kind of the camouflage gear for a little while? And then they did have a fight instead of him fighting Punk, they had to throw Fuck Kane in there.
Well, they did have him and Punk for like three matches in a row or something.
I don't think so. I think they did. Kane
No. The AJ and the
the triangle.
But that happened, and that's what led to Team Hell No, which was great.
Yes,
but he faced Punk one on one at least a couple times.
Yeah.
And in fact, the thing was, I think the reason they threw Kane in there was because it was supposed to be a heel babyface.
Yeah.
And it was a 50-50 split, despite that, the popularity of Punk.
And I think that's what it was, is they didn't want to saturate Punk at the time, so they threw in Kane. And then, all of a sudden it's...
But it was really never about any of the three of them, despite being for the belt. No. It was about this AJ, who I couldn't stand.
Yes. and this was Vince McMahon's latest attempt to find a new female face of the company.
The new stable.
It was AJ.
It'll be Eve.
It was Lana. Right? There's
all... be Eve.
Who?
Eve Marie.
Oh, Eva Marie, yeah. Well, it was Eva Torres Marie. For a while, too.
It was Eve Torres. But, I should have Eva, whatever.
Yeah. And then you... But in Lana...
And then I knocked up Eve. That was my mistake.
Right. Yeah. I thought that was me.
No, you just knocked her around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, she deserved it. I was thinking of Rosa. I just look at it like, and then they taper off, they peel off, and it's Kane and Daniel Bryan, and then They have to team together. I forget how that came to be.
They had to hug it out.
They had to team together, and they won the tag titles by the fluke or whatever. He got knocked out.
It was Kane always caused the team to win, and Daniel Bryan was just still there because it was still Kane was the babyface, Daniel Bryan was the heel.
Yes.
And yet they were a team.
Yes,
but they were a team for that reason. We thought they were going to have the belt like a month.
Yeah,
they had it for like 8 months.
Oh God, and
you kept on waiting for it, like the Royal Rumble with The Rock, where he won the belt. Remember how?
And yeah, because
the Royal Rumble spot between them,
because we had thought that at that point it was okay. They'll transition it to, I forget what their name was called, but it was
Road Scholars.
Yeah, the Road Scholars. It was Cody and Sandow, and it was like okay, you can transition it onto them.
Yeah.
And then Kane and Bryan, maybe they fight at WrestleMania then, right? That's a Mania match.
Yeah.
And then, no, they kept the belts and were like, oh, and then they had their Mania, they had their spot where it's like, Bryan threw Kane out of the Rumble.
Yeah.
And they're talking and they're jawing at each other and then.
Bryan gets thrown out.
But Kane catches him. Bryan throws it into Kane and Kane's hugging him because they're hugging it out.
And he's like, put me back in.
And they had these great facials and put me back in. And finally just drops
him. That's awesome.
But then they kept the titles and they went, and who did they fight? They fought Ziggler and Langston.
Yes.
For the tag titles. And Langston's debut.
Yeah.
Mania match.
Well, they lost it to the Shield eventually. Who they lost it to. They had it for a long time.
And they had a great match in Calgary here on Raw.
It was an unbelievable match. Yeah. I'm privileged to see that match.
Yeah.
It was Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns versus Team Hell No.
Yeah.
It was so great. And that was them trying to regain it. And that was the same night that Bret Hart said to him, "You remind me of a young Bret Hart."
Yeah.
Which I think is exactly what he had said to Alberto Del Rio. "You remind me of a young Bret Hart."
Yeah.
But at the Royal Rumble. But the point is, even before that, the Team Hell No is where, again, he was heel, but he started to become really likable again. But he always was. Remember there was the spot where...
I am the tag team champion.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
But there was the spot where there was the time that we shouldn't forget this. Because this was a great moment. CM Punk and The Rock were going to have their feud for the belt.
Oh, yes.
And Daniel Bryan was in the ring, and he was in The Rock's face.
Was that Raw 1000?
I can't remember.
I think that was Raw 1000, because he called him like an Oompa Loompa or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was right in their face, and yeah.
But the thing was, he held his own charisma-wise, and on the mic, with The Rock and CM Punk.
Yes. And he outshone CM Punk, I thought.
I thought so too, yeah.
He held his own with The Rock.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, and because they had that stupid, they were going to get married on Raw 1000. And then Vince offered AJ the general manager, and she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
But that's because he was going to send her to the insane asylum, remember? He wasn't really going to marry her. He was going to send her to the insane.
Yes, that's right. That was the spot.
So there's a bunch of dumb, like I say, storylines. He made it great, though. The thing is that, again, like you say, this is where he became likable. He started to show the personality. He showed a real comedic flair that you didn't know was there earlier.
Yes.
That was the key, was that you didn't know he had that.
And then, yeah, exactly. And you had...
And he had come a long way from the guy that they were saying had no personality or charisma at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's showing comedic flair. He was really good saying their lines.
The Dr. Shelby stuff was funny. These backstage skits, with Hank and the goat mask and all that stuff. Just, they were funny.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the last probably funny WWE comedy that's been written.
There was one funny trip or R-Truth and Goldust.
Oh, Goldust thing.
The first one.
Yeah.
I'm a married man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a married man. But yeah, not the Jimi Hendrix one.
No.
It's just so, all of that, sort of culminates in any, a Team Hell No, and then they get through another WrestleMania with that and they're, they continue as a team, really, and because we saw them in May, and they were
trying to regain the belts,
the tag titles, and they kept going, and then
at this point though, he was full blown babyface.
Yes,
he was already the underdog.
Yes,
he was likable. He was getting great crowd reactions. The yes chant was over. Now they had stopped trying to fight it. They saw him now as the guy who could go out there and give them a great 20-minute, 30-minute match. Every single Raw.
Now he was an upper mid-carder.
But there was no more. Like, it was just He's a great guy to go out there and entertain the crowd now for 20 minutes. We know we can count on him to entertain every single week. That we can't build anything around him. Yeah. We can't. That's all we can do. Like,
and then they had the Raw where John Cena, I forget why.
John Cena, yeah, got the chance to choose his opponent, and he picked the guy who deserved it.
Yes.
Because he was getting the best crowd reaction.
Yes.
And like I say, because his wrestling was great.
And then Daniel Bryan, and then
At this point, I was asking, remember I said it on the show once? I'm like, is Daniel Bryan the best ever?
Yeah.
Because, like, he had a three-month period there on TV in those tag matches and stuff. And then the other thing about those tag matches was it came out of that, and you started getting a third member in there, so it was three-on-three, and that was Orton.
Yes.
At that, against the three members of the Shield. And it was him, then it became him trying to prove to Randy Orton,
mm-hmm.
and to Kane, you think I'm the weak link? I'm not the weak link.
Yes.
So now he had to beat the guys in his own team to prove himself. That's what led to the momentum to that SummerSlam. Like, it was all of that. It was the Shield. It was the great matches.
Yeah.
It was the underdog. And you think I'm the weak link. All of that was causing the great reaction.
And meanwhile, Randy Orton has won the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And Cena and Bryan and Cena...
He lost. I think he lost to Randy Orton. I think clean, and then he lost. And then he lost by countout or something.
Yeah.
And then he finally beat him.
Yeah, like that. That's like, right. They had some things, and they finally won. And then he beat Cena with the
running knee.
The running knee.
Yeah.
That was one of the first times he used it, or the first time he was getting it over as a finisher.
Yeah, I think that's the first time I thought.
Yeah, and then he beat him with the running knee, and then he won the title. And then Hunter pedigrees him, and Randy Orton cashes in and wins. And then they just beat Bryan. And as I said, I mean...
Well, no, but they didn't just beat him. They
mutilated him. I'm sorry. Yes.
No. They did the dusty finish. Well, they thought the next month, they thought he won it, and they pulled it back.
Yeah.
All of this was designed to make Orton a hated heel so Batista could beat him for the crowd.
Yes.
That was the whole point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing was... is
he was supposed to be Mick Foley setting up Triple H for...
Yes. For greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah, for anyone.
Or Mick Foley setting up The Rock. He was supposed to be Mick Foley setting up The Rock for Austin.
Yes.
This is what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be setting up Orton for Batista.
Yes. And the at this point, as it was well chronicled in this story we just told, is at this point, I had no faith in the company, shockingly, to this day. And
so the thing is, that you think they're going to have a good WrestleMania, for instance. You think they're going to, like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, who the fuck would think that?
They have no hope.
With dope. I think that, but again, at this point, they're beating Daniel Bryan, and at this point, I'm like, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's frustrating.
I'm not, for you. For me, it's, this is what they do. And I didn't, shitty, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and they do the dusty finish, and then they beat him again, and they beat him again. And then, they unify the belts.
Yeah.
And they're announcing the unification of the belts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about it in his speech. And they had all the old champions and all former champions, like Jack Swagger and shitty people like that.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan was just back in the crowd as one of those people.
Well, so was CM Punk.
Oh, yeah. And they
CM Punk loved this moment, by the way.
And they just... He was killing himself on it because they would not stop chanting Daniel Bryan.
They're trying to do
this match that no one has ever cared about. Ever. Ever.
I don't know about ever, but not in years.
Remember the Royal Rumble?
I say 2006, maybe, when they were still new and fresh.
The WrestleMania point, and nobody cared.
That was 2009.
Yeah, and here it is, 2012, or 13, or whatever it was. And they just don't care, and they're trying to do it again, and it's like, nobody gives a fuck. And it's like, and there's like these two guys, and they're gonna unify the belt once and for all.
Most important match in WWE history.
Daniel Bryan. And that's all people cared, to the point where Cena had to go and raise Daniel Bryan's hand, acknowledge him, let him get it cheered, and then they kept going. And then
the thing was, the funny part was that they didn't see it coming.
No.
We saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
We'd seen how popular he was everywhere, and then you're going into his home.
Yeah.
Town. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
basically.
And I don't know that there's anything you could have done. I don't think you could have done an injury angle and got him out of this. Look, I don't think there's anything.
I think you could. You
no,
you
the know crowd still would have chanted for him.
I was going to say, it's actually better that they didn't because, yeah, the crowd would have
I don't think there was anything they could do to keep the crowd.
John Cena did the best thing possible, and that's acknowledge it so that they get what they want and they tire themselves out and they move on.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, and then
Daniel Bryan was another guy laughing because he's like,
oh, he's just fuck. He's kind of humbly laughing though.
Yeah, but yeah, he's just like, I can't.
He's like, that's for me.
It's like, this is hilarious
for me.
I can't believe this is happening.
Sorry about this, guys.
Guys, I didn't do anything, guys.
Yeah, I didn't tell him to do this. Sorry.
He just yeah.
But I mean, so then you have from there you get the Royal Rumble, the infamous Royal, the Bautista Royal
yes,
Rumble.
Yes, yes.
Where you know. Daniel Bryan is feuding with the Wyatts.
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah.
And he loses a match and he has to become a Wyatt family member.
Yes.
Remember? And he looks like Duke the Dumpster Drosy with his...
And that only lasts like 2 weeks though, and then he beats him up and
loses. And then he beats him up the cage.
No sense. It was like, here you have a storyline that you could have at least built out. They didn't even do that.
Yeah. Leading to a Royal Rumble match. Yeah. The opening match at the Royal Rumble, which is fucking phenomenal. It was match of the year, I think, in terms of, you know.
It was an awesome match.
Yeah.
And Bray Wyatt beats him clean.
Yes.
Again. As he always does.
Because Bray Wyatt is being built for John Cena.
Yeah. The stars.
And then Daniel Bryan goes into the Royal Rumble.
No, he doesn't.
And no.
He doesn't, and he doesn't go into the Royal Rumble at all. That's the key. Rumble. He doesn't enter.
And so
the crowd's waiting for him because they know he's there. They watched him wrestle.
And Wyatt's in.
There's everybody. Wyatt was in. There's only one spot left.
Yes.
WWE's like, well, it'll be all right because we saved a surprise. A guy they haven't seen in months and who's super over, especially with the kids.
Exactly.
Rey Mysterio.
Booyaka, booyaka.
Booyaka.
And Daniel Bryan. And they're just booing everything Rey does. And they're booing everything Batista does.
And they're booing everything Roman Reigns. Well, actually.
No, Roman Reigns eliminated the most guys, then he was out.
That's right, yeah.
But because it was really towards the end when it came down to like Cena and Batista and these guys that they're just booing the shit out of everyone.
They are now. Because they know now they're not going to see him.
Yeah. And then Batista wins and everybody's just riotous.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then. They keep going, and they go to Raw the next night, and people are still full of venom.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the difference now, and like we talked about this at the time, the difference now between now and, say, like a 1992 or a 94 is all these shows are live.
Yeah, you can't edit it out
back
anymore.
In the day, like when Lex Luger came out with the WWF title for the TV tapings after WrestleMania 10 in February.
Yeah.
For an April showing, they had a long time to change that.
Yeah.
And edit that. And so that you can't do that. You can't hide any of that shit now. And so it kept getting boo, boo, boo. And so then the Authority, yes, they were then around then.
But at least they were fresh then? Oh, wait.
No. But they were putting the roadblocks against Daniel Bryan and then they had, that infamous moment where all the guys in yes shirts occupy Raw.
Well, you're forgetting a couple of key things. Number one, coming out of the Royal Rumble, the next night, like I say, they booed the shit out of Batista.
Yes.
The shit out of him. So it wasn't just in the one town.
He did not
it
have
wasn't
to,
just the Royal Rumble.
He did not have to poop after the show.
It was not just the Royal Rumble crowd. But the other thing is, you're forgetting, that's the night where CM Punk left.
Yes, that's true.
That's the night where CM Punk quit the company. The night after the Rumble.
No.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was he in the Rumble?
He was in the Rumble.
Oh.
The next night he quit. And that's what changed a lot of these plans, right? Because at that point, Daniel Bryan was supposed to be six from the top against Sheamus.
Right.
As a newly healed Sheamus.
Yes.
And a rematch of the match, the 37-second
Punk
match.
Was going to fight Hunter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then that's where And no. And CM Punk even said, Vince, or at least he said this during the Coke battle, you know, thing or whatever. He goes, you know, what are you doing? You're putting Batista and Orton in together when your most over guy is Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. And Vince McMahon's response was, Batista versus Randy Orton is going to be the biggest match in the history of the business.
Yeah.
He believed that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But they kept going. And the boos and Orton getting booed. Nobody gave a fuck.
Batista, everybody.
Yeah. The whole concept was just being shit on.
Every week.
And no one was caring about Mania.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you have, you know, the Occupy Raw thing, and they're starting to go, okay, well, Daniel Bryan's good, so let's slap Daniel Bryan in here.
Well, now it became, you're going to have Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, but the plan was still only Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, and all that was going to be one match. He wasn't going to be in.
That's right.
It was still going to be Batista versus Orton, but that had so little heat.
Yes.
That they had to say if Bryan wins
Hunter,
he goes in. And then later on, they decided a couple weeks later, if Hunter beats Bryan, he'll go in. And all of a sudden, we went, oh fuck, because it's Triple H.
Yeah.
And he tends to book himself to win when he shouldn't.
What? Well, no. But I mean, in all fairness to Triple H, it's not like he's the World Wrestling Federation champion now.
Not 2016.
He's an executive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, yeah, then we thought, oh shit, because it could just be like the...
Because they could.
Hunter's solution to the fact that this has no heat is add me.
Yeah.
And we can talk about Evolution exploding.
Yeah.
That'll get over. And 2014, whatever it was. You know, and the thing was... Yeah, it was 2014.
Yeah.
And then the thing with it is then, okay, then... But then there was a story there, so it gave the main event a little more heat, and then Bryan wins to go in.
Yeah.
And Bryan still isn't supposed to win. He was just going to go in.
Yeah.
And then Vince realized that...
still supposed to be Batista.
Yeah.
Batista's bitter about all this, by the way.
Oh, yes. And I think that's kind of what it is that Batista started throwing the fit.
Yeah.
And Vince kind of settled. That's all you left from last time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, you know what? Then we need to leave WrestleMania going on. And then... We need to leave WrestleMania going on top. And I don't know when the decision was for Lesnar to beat Taker was made.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if that played part of it. It's like we're giving people that, so we have to go out with a babyface win.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Bryan really is the only babyface in this match.
Yeah.
So.
Not what they wanted. They tried their best to keep Batista babyface.
And then it was WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And, you know, great moment.
Yeah.
Great WrestleMania because of that. You had the Hogan, Rock, and Austin open.
Yeah.
You had the streak being broken.
And you had the two matches.
And then you had,
those two Daniel Bryan, two terrific matches with him.
And the it was the first on the World Wrestling Federation Network.
Yeah.
You know? And, fantastic.
Yeah.
And then they were going to program Daniel Bryan with Kane. And in true Rey Mysterio Jr. fashion.
Yeah.
That, you know, okay, we gave him the moment, but, you know, we don't really want this guy as the champion.
Yeah.
And Bryan gets hurt. And, you know.
It's not a concussion.
Not a concussion. He gets hurt. He has to vacate the World Wrestling Federation Championship. To be honest, I don't remember what happened with it. Did they put it in the Money in the Bank then? Yeah, they did. The Money in the Bank winner won the belt.
Yeah, which was John Cena.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and he held it until Lesnar beat him. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That long?
It wasn't that long.
Oh, did Lesnar beat him? Yes, that's true. Lesnar then, beat him. That's true. At the SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because, that was the whole point was, you know, Kane was going to pick Daniel Bryan up some steam so that he could get killed by Brock Lesnar from Dr. Bro. And then he comes back. Announces he's coming
back.
Remember
they had press conferences at the end and that first, event after whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Over the Edge or whatever. And Daniel Bryan, they're talking to him and he's just out there for a couple minutes. He just had the match where he beat Kane and Kane had worked on his neck and he's like, guys, I gotta go. My neck is killing me.
Yeah.
And we're thinking it's him just playing the storyline. You find out later. No, his neck is fucking
killing him. The other part of it was,
and then Vince McMahon was supposed to have a press conference.
Well, that's just coming up after Fastlane. On the 22nd.
I think it is. Is that one fascinating?
I don't know.
Who cares?
24th, I think.
Gives a fuck.
21st?
20, who gives 21st. A fuck? 21st, yeah.
21st.
But then Daniel Bryan comes back and announces he's going to be entered into the Royal Rumble.
That's right.
Big return.
Yep.
At the Royal Rumble. And,
so this is where you know what? You might finally hear have some evidence that they're stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is when they get dumb, right?
Yeah.
About now.
Right they don't now. See something coming. Yeah. They don't know what to do.
Right about
they
now.
They book things stupidly.
This is when the questionable booking starts.
This is where this is where they managed to fuck up Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns at the same time.
Yeah, my boy D. Bryan, and they're trying to elevate Roman Reigns now. And
they want D. Bryan back in there because it'll create interest in the Royal Rumble.
And
so we'll create interest in the Royal Rumble. Then it becomes, but we don't want people to cheer for him. So, but we don't want to make the mistake of not having him in there like last year when people were cheering for him. So what we'll do is we'll put him in there. We'll just have him thrown out in like 7 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, by Bray Wyatt or whatever. Yeah.
And this is an even worse idea than what they did.
Yes.
What are you fucking
and doing? Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is fucked.
And Roman Reigns is also hurt.
Yeah,
but he came back a bit earlier.
Yeah.
And in matches.
And he's not as likable.
Build the stream. And he was starting to build a bit of steam, but then he got hurt. And then he come back, and it really, again, with Bryan, and then he's going up, and Daniel Bryan, okay, then, yeah, 7 minutes in the fucking Rumble, and then people were booing the shit out of Roman Reigns, and then they thought, okay, well then, that's fine, let's do a Fastlane.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns, and the winner goes on to fight Lesnar for the title at WrestleMania.
And if he gets a clean pin over him, well, of giving people what they want, they'll see he gets a top. But Reigns will get the rub from him.
Yes, exactly.
Instead of, oh, people will see that you're trying to give Reigns the rub from him and reject it.
Yes, exactly.
The crowd's too smart for this type of shit now.
It's 2 months. Now what it is it's does this sound fucking familiar? 2 months in a row where people are booing Roman Reigns. Yeah. Like two different pay-per-view events leading to WrestleMania where he's supposed to be coronated as the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're booing the shit out of him in the two pay-per-views leading up to that. So then you get, then all of a sudden, Daniel Bryan announces that he wants to win the Intercontinental title.
That's right.
And we thought, great. And I don't remember who the Intercontinental champion was at the time.
It was Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett, okay.
So, because then Ray kept on having it stolen by R-Truth and shit.
Is Wade Barrett against Daniel Bryan? Okay, that should be a decent match.
Yeah, that'll be fine, yeah.
Decent match. And then the next
Nexus,
SmackDown.
Nexus explodes.
Yeah, the Nexus powers explode. And then on SmackDown, Dolph Ziggler says, I want to win the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Oh, so here's the three-way.
And they're like, okay, that's... And then,
and then next one, and then R-Truth steals the belt.
Yes.
And then Dean Ambrose tries to buy it.
Yes.
And then a lot of different skirmishes happen on SmackDowns and Raw, and Luke Harper walks away with the belt.
Yeah.
So all of this is built to a ladder match for the Intercontinental title, like a six-way or something. And I mean, it was a spot fest. It was the opener. And Daniel Bryan wins the Intercontinental title.
We knew the booking was shit, but we knew, and Wade Barrett gets the belt back right before the event starts.
Yeah.
But we knew Daniel Bryan was gonna win, and we knew it'd be a good match. It was exactly what you expected. And the unfortunate thing is, the next night on Raw, Sheamus returned as a heel.
Yes.
Which, led to, not immediately, but cause Daniel Bryan the next night on Raw faced Dean, or not Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler.
Ziggler, that's right.
Faced off Dolph Ziggler, but, you know, had a few matches. But unfortunately, he had the unfortunate task of working with Sheamus for the 417th time.
Well, the point here...
A guy who had gotten, as he put it, 3 concussions in his first 5 months of wrestling.
Yes.
Now had to work with concussion machine Sheamus again.
Yes. And the point here, though, is that Daniel Bryan wins the Intercontinental title, John Cena wins the U.S. title. Both of these moves meant to elevate those championships and make those championships important. And then you're right. Then a week and a half later on SmackDown, Sheamus clubs, Bryan, and he gets a concussion.
Yeah.
And he's got to vacate now the Intercontinental title. and that was his last match, his last act.
Yeah.
And then it's a matter we talked about as a series of fights to, you know, I can wrestle, I'm cleared, I'm fine. And then he made the ultimate decision that he made. Gave the speech on Monday, which I think was fucking fantastic.
And I really want to commend the writers who came up with that for him. They did a fantastic job.
The script writers need to be... Give them a raise.
They really came through.
Give them a raise. But, I mean, it was funny, it was sad, it was, you know, it was emotional, it was serious, it was, you know, it was everything it needed to be, and it, you know, similar to Edge kind of thing, only, Brian's got the ability to be able to do this too in his hometown. Have his family there, you know. And just capped off what was an emotional, nobody since, I won't even say The Rock. The best I could, you used Mick Foley earlier as Foley, as The Rock. Much like Mick Foley, and that's probably the best example. I don't think anybody has truly connected with the people.
No.
Since Mick Foley.
Not in this way, no. It's a different thing.
Yeah, it's a different thing. Love Austin. And people can relate to Austin and the whole storyline.
Well, there's a connection to Austin.
Sure.
There's a connection to The Rock, but they're very different.
But the connection with Mick Foley was...
I'm just like him.
To the heart. It was to the heart.
Because I feel like he's similar to me. Yes,
and Daniel Bryan had that connection.
Yes.
Has that connection. He's not dead.
Yeah.
He has that connection with the people.
He still has.
And that's something that I don't know, like, AJ Styles won't have that connection.
I don't know that he won't.
He won't.
Sami Zayn's probably the best chance.
Sami Zayn might, yes. Because they're both
AJ's
fully,
no chance,
and they're very humble. And just down to earth and wrestling fans, and I see that in Sami Zayn. I see that potential
in Sami Zayn
to me.
Yeah,
but it is so rare.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
it's not something you can manufacture.
And he transcended because of that. Everything that he wasn't supposed to be,
he was
because of that connection.
The shame about it all is, as much as he accomplished, and he accomplished more than he ever thought he would, he did not, we don't know how much farther or how big a star he could have been. Because this is like, can you imagine if The Rock, the first time he won the belt, or Austin, or Hogan, John Cena, any of these people. If the first time they won the belt, then over the next 2 years, they would only wrestle for a total of 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't even know what he could have been, because he had that connection. He could have gotten to such a level that we don't know as far as crossover and his ability to bring in new fans and to connect and to raise pay-per-view buys or network subscriptions and sell shirts and stuff. We don't even know. Like, would he have? I think he would have not reached Rock in Austin, but I think he would have passed Cena.
Yeah.
But we'll never know. That's the shame.
That is.
You know, of it.
That is the shame.
He never got to reach his potential as to be as big a star as he could have been. Though, as a wrestler, his potential he already had met.
Well, we did ask some of the listeners, too, as to what some of their favorite Daniel Bryan moments were. A few people, both Karen and Queen Ambrose said inducting Connor into the Hall of Fame.
That was,
That was great.
Yeah,
it was such a moment.
Something. He was amazing.
We talked about, Nadia talks about invading Raw with the Yes Movement, Occupy Raw. And that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Being John Cena clean. New number two.
It was clean. You didn't see John Cena do a clean loss.
No.
It was rare.
Nico's talking about when I saw him for the first time on NXT, much like what you said. He was a rookie, but you knew he'd be special. Quote-unquote rookie.
Yeah.
But you knew he'd be special. You know, it just, even can't believe Daniel Bryan's career is over. We never got to see him fight Kane.
Oh, yeah. No, we never saw that.
No. So, it's just, yeah, it's always a shame when those things happen. But, yeah, there's just so many memories of them, and quite frankly, in the World Wrestling Federation, such a short period of time.
Only 5 years.
Yeah.
And like I say, probably of the last 2 years, really not active. So it's really a 3 year career you're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, three, maybe 3.5 years in that range that you're looking at.
That's crazy. Yeah. But this said, it's for the best, whatever he decides to do, you know, this next year's Hall of Fame headliner.
This year's, I think.
You think he's going to go?
I think so.
I mean, they did it with Edge right away.
Yeah, they did it with Edge right away. But they could. They could. Even Edge right away was a year after his last match.
That really, it was, yeah.
Almost, you know, because he retired right after WrestleMania. They still could do it. Or they could wait because they already got Sting this year. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, it's, like you say, I mean, the snap or tap. You know, I got 5.
Yeah.
You know, yes. I am the champion. Yes.
I'm the tag team champion.
It has been our pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Like I look at a lot of people, and we're going to talk about one here for a bit when we're off this topic. But the tragedies of the industry, I don't view Daniel Bryan as a tragedy of the wrestling industry. Yeah, his career is cut short. But he achieved so much and realized who he is and his potential and all that stuff thanks to the wrestling industry.
Now we're talking about that, there's not a tragedy. Do you think that Daniel Bryan will become a medical catalyst for the World Wrestling Federation or the rest
of the industry? Well, that's one thing I do want to talk about here. But first off, I wanted to say he has an ability. We talk about that ability to...
Connect.
And, he doesn't have to stay in wrestling. Like, no matter what he does, he can be a motivational speaker, he can be a teacher, he could be president. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he has an ability to connect to the point where he could probably be president. And I'm not even bullshitting here.
Well, no, because we'll get the front runner. Another World Wrestling Federation Hall of Famer.
That's right. But, he has that incredible ability to be real and to be sincere and to be, and people believe in him and trust him and feel for him and feel common with him and all this stuff that, like I say, he can accomplish way more than, he in some ways, I think WWE and wrestling was holding back his potential because his potential is that great. To really make a difference in this world. He's a pretty special guy.
Worked for Fatu.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, What were you saying about the catalyst part?
For the medical.
Yeah, like you said, it's been our pleasure to watch him, but I don't even... we're going to see... This is going to be an interesting time. We talk about... It's not just the WWE. As these tests that they're doing now become more complex and start to figure out a lot more about the brain, about pre-injuries and CTE and concussions and the damage. It's going to affect WWE.
They're looking at the damage, and they're also looking at Doug Basham.
Yeah. Not the damage.
Oh.
Just the damage.
Sorry.
Yeah. As we see this, and it's going to affect mixed martial arts, hockey, basketball, soccer, football, anything where there's a potential of head contact or trauma
physicality of any kind.
Well,
wrestling's fake, so that's okay.
Yeah, wrestling's fake, yeah. You take a soccer ball to your head and head it, 500 times a year and tell me it's not causing some sort of damage. It is. It's going to be an interesting time over the next 5 to 10 years and to see... if there's something I would like to see with Daniel Bryan, if there's something he could maybe do, because he's such a smart guy and such a great worker, understanding psychology, all this stuff, he could work with the WWE to find a way to create exciting wrestling that is much safer.
Yes. Yeah.
That is much less chance to damage the brain and other parts of the body, because even though, thank God the garbage wrestling is pretty much gone.
Yes.
There's a few independent promotions hanging on to it.
That it's still...
But it's pretty much that hardcore style is pretty much gone. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about this for a little bit. But thank God it's pretty much gone. But people are doing things to their bodies because the rings are safer and whatever. They're still doing things, and the medical science is better. They're doing things that are, like Bret Hart talks about how he's even before the cancer, how he's just had surgery on his knees. He's had surgery on his back. He's had surgery. Hulk Hogan's had all these surgeries. Like all these people that didn't do the bumps even close to what we see now. These people are still in bad case. I can only imagine what these guys that are doing, like the Young Bucks doing a 450 splash from the top of the ring post to the cement floor outside onto somebody, what that's going to do to them in 5-10 years.
Yes.
Right? Like, I know they're not carrying a lot of body weight.
They may not live to be old bucks.
No. And so it's not just the head. It's in general. Mm-hmm. Getting it back to...
Look at Foley.
When we saw him, like, he could barely move.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Yeah.
So if Daniel Bryan could do something within the wrestling industry, I think it would find a way to use athleticism and wrestling and techniques and selling and storytelling and acting and all this stuff to make great, exciting matches that aren't as physical. Because, I mean, the fact is, he wouldn't have had the career he had if he hadn't done things like dive off the top rope.
No.
And dive through the ropes and all that stuff. That's part of what got him over, and the crowd loved him so much.
Yes.
That's also part of what caused the career to end so early. If he was to stay in there, I think that would be it. But as far as the catalyst, I think the catalyst, I don't know if it's just him. I think that's coming anyways. Like, I think there's going to be huge changes to every sport in the next few years, and it will be for the better because they talk of, like, there's now, they're just saying, recently how there's now, this is very recent, within the last couple weeks or something like that. There seems to be a correlation between brain damage and concussions and suicide. And it's like, we're just figuring that out now.
What?
Like, not wrestling, but we all, hockey. Well, there's an example.
Wait, all the hockey goons are...
All the hockey players that made their living in the, like, 90s and 2000s.
Mike Awesome. I mean, Jesus.
The guys who are the goons, not in the body chest, but whose job is to fight to protect the other players.
Bill Irwin.
These guys are guys that they've been committing suicide. And football players, and I look at CM Punk, and he seems to have had a personality change to me over the last couple of years, too.
Mm-hmm.
And even getting even more cranky. And I'm like, I wonder how many concussions this guy's had.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's going into mixed martial arts, though, you know, he may never fight.
I was
going
to say.
But, you know, I mean, I look at this and I'm like, oh, this scares me. Like, for him, I really wonder
if
he's already got damage in his brain that's past the point where it can be repaired.
I still think that in WWE and wrestling in general, It always has to happen to one of them before they do anything. Like, you talk about how, like, medical science and yabba yabba. But, I mean, something has to happen for wrestling.
Well, when there's enough lawsuits or deaths. Because we're starting to see deaths happen when there's again now.
No, it's not even deaths. It's current things.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan is an example of that. And that's where I think, again, he can be used as a catalyst for this type of change.
I don't think he will be I think it'll take more than that just because I don't think I think they want to deny the truth. I think it's the next guy after him, and it'll probably be Dolph Ziggler, who's already had a whole bunch, or Randy Orton, who's already had a whole bunch of concussions.
Right.
It'll be one of these guys, the next guy after, where it's like, okay, now we can't deny it. One guy we can deny.
Yeah,
two, three, that's when we can't.
I think it'll have to be someone we'll miss.
They'll miss Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah, they will. Not Dolph Ziggler, but they'll miss Randy Orton.
They'll miss Randy Orton. Right.
We should
cut it off, but yeah. I just want to say a little bit, because Axel Rotten passed away.
He's dead, too.
And there is again, I don't know if you would say Axel Rotten's a tragedy of the wrestling industry. To some degree, you would. Because, I mean...
To say he was a tragedy of the wrestling industry would denote that he's a wrestler.
He's an interesting guy.
I mean, it's sad when anybody dies, and he had 44. He had demons,
And, you know, he was having the GoFundMe stuff and to get out of the wheelchair. But, again, he
was... And he was out of the wheelchair. He's walking in a walker now.
And he saw him on that... 44. That was that Hardcore Revolution or whatever that ECW documentary was.
Yeah,
and
it that just, was one.
Him and Balls Mahoney
were Balls there. Mahoney, it was Balls Mahoney, particularly, was scary.
Yeah, but he was also pretty scary.
He's scary.
And it's just... But that's what it was. That's what a lot of ECW was.
Well, like I say, I don't know that I consider him a wrestling tragedy either. I mean, a lot of people would because... He ended up in a wheelchair because, you know, his state towards the end here was so sad.
Right.
The truth is, this is a guy who was abused as a child and who likely, without going into wrestling, would have done something that was self-destructive and would have been on... He talks about being addicted to drugs, particularly addicted to heroin.
Mm-hmm.
He would have probably gotten into that stuff regardless of wrestling. So I don't know. If anything, wrestling, as much as you think that it caused him to be in the wheelchair, and it did, it also, he loved it. I mean, going to barbed wire, most people wouldn't enjoy that. He loved that. Like, that's what made him feel alive for a moment. So, I mean, it took a toll on him, but it also gave him his best moments in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I'd say he's a tragedy of wrestling. I'd say he's an unfortunate tragedy of life, though.
Yeah, sure.
In general.
And he happened to be a wrestler.
Sort of. But, you know, when you're... Yeah, but when you're abused the way he was and you have that background, there's an incredible article, and I'm going to have to look it up here. It's on What Culture, and I actually put a link to it into the write-up on the show if people want to see it. It's basically on his last days by the guy at What Culture. He was writing a document or writing a book with him. And his name is, James Dixon.
Is it a picture book?
And No. But even he admits that, it had to be a guy who, he contacted James Dixon, said, I have this story, I think it'd be a great book, these books are selling well, I have a great story to tell, but I need somebody who'll do it with me over the phone and we'll just take and dictate down into a book into what I say. So, I mean, he knew what he was gonna be. But, and then basically he's like, he didn't have any idea in it, and then as soon as he talked to him, he just basically immediately was like, this is an incredible story. And, there's also a documentary, again, I put it in there, you can see the whole thing on YouTube, it's called Extreme Injuries Hardcore Recovery, about him. And it's a fascinating documentary, utterly compelling. And like I say, it's just kind of a tragedy of life. So, if you want to know more about Axel Rotten, I'd recommend the last days of Axel Rotten on What Culture by James Dixon and the documentary on YouTube. And again, you can reach both of them off the WeTalkWrestling.com and they're right up to the show.
No, that's not Dick's daughter. That's Dick's son.
Not Dick. Some fucking days.
Anyway, well, let's go on a high note then, and let's wrap it up. Where we at? We Talk Wrestling on the Twitter machine. Facebook.com.
Working title, Wrestling with Heroin, Axel Rutten's Struggle to Survive Pro Wrestling.
Yes. Not Dick's daughter. Dick's son.
Go to do the plugs, you fucker. And we'll go
OUG. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, we're on the TuneIn Radio app. WeTalkWrestling.com is the fantastic website that hosts us, or we host it. I'm not sure what happens there.
I'm not really sure.
It's a codependent relationship.
Pretty much is.
So in the meantime, and in between
Facebook, time, you forgot.
I already did all that shit while you were talking about Dick's daughter.
Oh.
No, wait, Dick's son. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, are we off air?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. You know, some people used to tell me, kind of, like, they make fun of me, and you've done it, too, about me looking like Brian Mellis, but I've also been told to look kind of like Axel Rotten.
No, he's better looking. Not Dick's daughter.